Mission. We're embarking upon a short series on missional practices, and we began last week and continuing today. I wasn't here last week, but I'm sure it was very good. So I don't know what was said, so forgive me if I repeat anything, but I felt it would be important to make sure we have some understanding of what we're talking about. The word mission gets used a lot these days, not only in church. Companies tend to have mission statements, as well as the church talking about mission. We've already prayed for our mission partners, our missionaries. So what do we actually mean when we use that word? Here's my idea. God is reaching out to make himself known so that everyone can live life to the full under God's rule. I'll read that again. Mission. God is reaching out to make himself known so that everyone can live life to the full under God's rule. That's my understanding of mission. It's about who God is and what God does. That God is a God who reaches out and wants to make a people for himself who can live life to the full under God's rule. So what do we mean when we talk about mission in the church? I suggest that our mission as a church is simply to join in, to get involved in something that God is already doing. That our task is to collaborate, to participate, to look for opportunities to discern where God is at work and to do the same things. To get involved, to reach out to people in generosity, as we talked about last week, and to reach out to people with good news and in love and in service so that everyone has the opportunity to respond and to know God for themselves and to live life to the full. You can get excited if you want, you don't have to. There's an implicit responsibility for us because it is an immense privilege to have received God's blessings. We have been graciously welcomed in. There's nothing that we did to deserve it. We didn't sort of jump through a hoop or make ourselves good enough, but God reached out to us and chose us. And God said, I'm doing everything that's necessary by sending Jesus and his death and resurrection so that you can be part of my kingdom, part of my purposes. So it's an immense privilege, and it's a free gift, but it does come with a sort of an implied responsibility that it's not just ours to hog for ourselves. You know, it makes a bit of a nonsense to receive such a generous and free gift that's available to everyone and not to do anything about sharing it. There's an implied responsibility to let other people have the same opportunity and to hear the same message and hope and good news that we've received. Now that leads to a problem, I think. And I have good reasons for saying this because the congregation at the earlier service all said so. They all agreed with me. So I've got some good grounds here. So if you disagree with me, you're not just disagreeing with me, you're disagreeing with 30 other people as well. The problem is this, that as a result of that, often we might sit in church and we feel as if we are being asked to do something, or maybe even told to do something, that we feel we can't do. And we end up, and I'm speaking for myself now, I end up often sitting in church feeling like I'm being asked to do something or even told to do something, and the basic thought that goes through my mind is, I can't do that because I'm just not that sort of person. That's not for me. That's not the sort of person that I am. You know, I cannot hula hoop for the Lord, and there's no point asking me to try, or whatever it may be. If you're brave, you can put your hand up. Who would say they've ever sat in church and felt like, I can't do that because I'm just not that sort of person? Oh, there's a lot of people. Okay, right. So there is something to talk about here, isn't there? Now, that problem is not just our problem. Let's go back to the Bible story that we had. It was David's problem as well in that story. So Roger set the scene for us really well. Thanks, Roger. That's a great job. We've got this big standoff between the Israelites and the Philistines. They're meant to be having a big battle, but this giant of a chap called Goliath steps forward and says, you know, battle's not a good idea, bloody, messy, people get killed. So let's cut to the chase. I'm here, one of you against me, and we'll just see who wins, and we'll call that the winner of the whole battle. It's a bit like when you've been playing football for 3.5 hours and you say next goal wins. It's that sort of a thing, if that means anything to you. It might mean something to some people, but not to others. So all of the Israelite soldiers are terrified. No one wants to fight Goliath. David turns up, not even in the army, a young man, not even meant to be there. He sees what's going on and he says, oh, I'll do it. I'll fight him. And it's just a ridiculous situation. And there's an argument goes on about whether he should do it or not. But in the end, the king accepts that David's going to fight him. So the king puts his own armor on David. And you then have this image of this young shepherd boy who's not old enough to be in the army, who shouldn't even be there, who is successful in what he does by being lithe and agile and nimble and skillful, clunking around in this suit of heavy armor with a heavy shield and a heavy sword that he can hardly pick up, that's just way too big for him. It's a comic image. It's ridiculous. And he's being sent out to fight. And he says what you've all been thinking. He says, I can't do this. I'm not that sort of person. I am not a soldier. I'm not someone who wears armor and uses a sword. But he doesn't stop there. He doesn't say, I can't do it because I'm not that sort of person and therefore I'm not going to. I'll go back home. Good luck with Goliath. He doesn't. He carries on. He says, I am a skillful shepherd boy. I am someone who runs fast and jumps over rocks, and is incredibly accurate with a slingshot. And I can hit a lion from 20 paces. So that's what I'm going to do. That's the sort of person I am, and I'm going to do it that way. So he takes off the armor, and he pops down to the stream, and he picks up 5 smooth stones, and off he goes into battle against Goliath. And just in case anyone doesn't know the story, I'm not going to tell you the ending. And you can read it in the rest of 1 Samuel later on when you get home. Or right now, it's in the Bible, right in front of you. So the problem that David had became something that he could get round. He said, I can't do it because I'm not that sort of person. But he also said, I am this sort of person, and therefore this is what I can do. So there's some good news there, because that actually sets a pattern for us. When we are in that situation where we're faced with the enormity of need in the world and the immense challenges that we as a church have of trying to embrace God's mission and respond to that need and take out the message of hope and good news that we have of God wanting to welcome everyone into his family, God wanting to live and abide within people's hearts, God wanting to have life to the full. When we're facing the sense of, but I don't know how to do it, I'm not the sort of person who knows how to do that, there's good news here. Because you don't have to stop at the point where you're saying, I can't do that because I'm not that sort of person. You can carry on like David. And you can say, I am this sort of a person, and therefore, this is what I am going to do. Now, in the passage from Ephesians that Alison read to us, thank you, Alison, very nicely done, we have the Apostle Paul writing to the early Christians, and he's giving them some encouragement. And he says two things. First of all, he says, you are unified. You're all one together. He talks about one God, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. He says, you're all in this together. You've got the same purpose. But then he also says, you're all different. And he lists some of the ways in which they are different. And he ascribes those differences to the way in which God has given them gifts. And he uses five titles. He talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Five different things. It's funny how number five comes up, like the five smooth stones. I don't know what the connection is. But he's saying you're different sorts of people and you can operate in different ways. Now, by apostle, he means someone who is sent out, someone who does something new, who goes somewhere where no one's been before, or does something that no one's ever done before. Those are pioneering types. They're visionaries, the people with amazing imagination. They're the apostles. Then the prophets, the people who speak on God's behalf. So those people who are particularly attuned to hearing God's voice in prayer. People who can really sense what God is doing and can listen carefully to God and pass on God's words to other people, whether it's a congregation or an individual. And then he talks about evangelists, those who've got that particular gift of explaining God's message, God's good news, those who can make connections, people who strike up conversations, people who just naturally find themselves talking about God, people who can put God's ideas into readily understood words. They're the evangelists. And then there's the pastors, people who care and tend the practical needs, people who come alongside and walk with others and take care of the wounded and the needy. And there are the teachers, those who are able to explain and to educate and to give people a fuller understanding that allows them to put things into practice. So those are five examples that are in that reading. Now, I hope you can recognise they're really different sorts of people. You know, the pioneering visionary sort who wants to constantly go off and do something new is not the same person who's going to sit alongside the hurting and the broken and comfort them and tend to their needs. Most of the time, that's the case. And the person who's good at teaching is probably not going to be the one who's necessarily really tuned in to praying and hearing God's word in the moment and passing that on. They're different skill sets. They're complementary, but they are different. So the basic message there is that God has equipped us all in different ways so that we are all one in wanting to participate in God's mission. We're all one in wanting to say, we've received something good and wonderful from God, so let's share that. Let's take that message out. Let's bring the good news of God's purposes to all of Purley. But our own particular contribution will vary enormously. It's a team effort. Some people are going to go out and do something amazing, going somewhere they've never been before, whilst other people are going to be praying and listening carefully and sharing God's word, and other people are going to be striking up conversations, and other people are going to be tending and caring, and other people are going to be teaching and explaining. And I don't think it's an exhaustive list. You don't have to pick one of those five, because you may be different again. There may be other things that you do, other qualities you've got, other desires that you have, and they can be brought to bear in playing your part in God's mission. So again, you can get excited if you like, I don't mind. This is tremendous because it's about who you are. It's about the person God has made you that means that you can join in. Everyone can join in. Everyone has a part to play. So when we talk about mission or doing anything that we do in the church, every time that we slip into that mode of, I can't do that because I'm not that sort of person. I hope you can take this as a prompt now to carry on thinking and say, I am this sort of a person. So therefore, what I am going to do will be this. And I'll give you two examples, which are personal examples. There's other, the book that we're following, John McGinley's book, Missional Practices, has got some other examples in it. So if you're using that in home groups, you can discuss the other examples in the book as you go through. Here's just two ways in which I think in my own past this has worked for me. When I was training for ministry, I was required to go on mission. So a team of us from the college were sent out on a mission. We went to a church in Liverpool, and we spent the whole of Holy Week on mission. And what that meant in that particular place was we were expected to go around knocking on doors and stopping people on the street and talking to them about Christian faith and inviting them to come to the Easter services. And then the Easter services were going to be set up to be suitable for people who were perhaps coming to church for the first time. Now, for very particular reasons to do with my personal circumstances, it would have been very, very difficult and painful for me at that time to go around knocking on doors or talking to people on the street. I mean, I could have done it, but it would have been very difficult and awkward, and I probably wouldn't have done it very well. At the beginning of the week, we were having a sort of team meeting and agreeing everything that was going to happen in the week, and the subject of the Good Friday service came up, and apparently there was going to be this huge Good Friday service that lots and lots of people would be coming to, and the main part of which was a talk. And all the people from the church had assumed that the mission team would be taking care of this service, and no one on the mission team realised, so no one had done anything about this service. So there was an awkward moment in the team meeting where we said, okay, we need someone to plan and organise this big service on Good Friday and to give a talk. So, of course, everyone's kind of looking at their shoes at that point, pretending that they're not really there, because no one felt able to do this, except me. I said, oh, well, I'll do that. And everyone was a bit taken aback. And one or two people said, oh, no, you don't have to. You know, it's not that bad. It's really, now I'm sure we can find someone else. But I was saying, no, really, you know, that's fine. That's the sort of thing I can do. I can plan services. I like giving talks. You know, it doesn't matter that it's at short notice. I'll just be able to do that. So they said, great, that was wonderful. And they were all really relieved. So they went off for the week knocking on doors and doing their stuff and doing it really well and getting some incredible conversations going and responses and inviting people into church. Meanwhile, I was planning and this service for Good Friday, and I gave this talk, and people said afterwards that it had been helpful and it drew some response from people. So that, for me, was a really good example of teamwork. You know, I was in that place of being faced with something and saying, I can't do that because that's just not me. So at that time, it wasn't. I really couldn't. But I knew what I could do, and I did that. And everyone else was really glad that I was doing it because all the rest of them were saying, gosh, Simon, I don't know how you did it. I couldn't have done that. And I was saying, well, I couldn't have done that. So it was a good job that they were doing that and I was doing this. You know, if I'd gone knocking on doors and they'd tried to plan a service, it would have been a disaster of a week, probably. So it's about teamwork, and it's about using our God-given gifts to collaborate in what God is doing. The other example I can give is when I was up the road in Coulston. I was working full-time in the church there, and we were concerned about reaching out to people, and it seemed to be evident at the time there were very few men coming to church. There were lots of families involved. There were lots of people coming to get married, lots of families coming for baptism, lots of children being brought along to attend Sunday school afterwards, but mainly being brought by mums and grandmothers, and very few men in the church, even for those families that were associated with the church. So we thought, what can we do? We want to sort of reach out to men and help men to feel involved and feel part of the church. I didn't know how to do that. I still don't know how to do it, I think. But certainly at the time, I didn't know how to do it. And we did what you always do. You buy the book off the bookstore, which is always a good idea. You know, how to reach out to men or whatever it was called, something like that. And, you know, you read the book, and it's full of these wonderful ideas, and there's always these anecdotes about churches that have been incredibly successful, you know, aren't they? You know, sort of, well, we just put a note at the bottom of the notices, and the next week, 250 men came along, and, you know, that's what it sounds like to me, anyway. Or they're always, you know, they're always telling you to do something, and I'm thinking, I just can't do that, that's just not me. I mean, I could try, but, you know, I just cannot hula hoop for the Lord. So it's no point trying. So I thought, what can I do? And at the time, and it still is the case now, I like cooking. I'm really happy to cook, and I like cooking. So I said, right, I'm just going to cook it once a month. I'll just cook a big meal at my house and invite men round. And anyone who wants to come can come and have a meal with me, and then we'll talk about something. So I just did what I could. And men came round, and we got a group going, and there was about a dozen men who ended up coming around to my house once a month, and we ate together and we talked, and that helped them to feel part of the church, and there were several men who ended up coming along to church much more regularly because of that. Now, I'm not sort of claiming any great credit there. I'm not saying that's a reflection on me. It's just an illustration of when you're faced with that sort of that huge question, we want to engage in mission, we want to reach out to our community, what can we do? Well, the first thing to say is, who are you? What sort of person are you? Do you like cooking? Do you like praying and listening to God? Do you like meeting people? Are you an organizer? Could you do some administration? Can you hula hoop for the Lord and set up a hula hoops and prayer group? I don't know. I'm being silly, but you get the idea, I hope. It's about who you are. Because God has made you who you are, and God can work through you and delights to see you using your God-given gifts. As I've been preparing this, my mind just keeps going back to The Nutty Professor. I don't know if any of you remember, it was a film in the 90s, an Eddie Murphy film, The Nutty Professor. It's about this guy who's really, really overweight, and he keeps trying to lose weight, and he can't, and he gets more and more depressed about it. And it ends up with this scene halfway through the film, the sort of turning point when he's sort of slobbed out on his couch watching TV, feeling completely depressed. And there happens to be an aerobics instructor on TV. And the aerobics instructor is giving everyone a G up. And he tells everyone, he says, stand up, everyone stand up and say, yes, I can. Yes, I can. And this is a bit of a mantra. And the nutty professor, he kind of gets the bug and he gets up off the couch. And he says, yes, I can. Yes, I can. And he goes off and he starts getting enthusiastic again. And it lifts him out of his depression. And for a while this week, I was wondering whether that was the message for us today. Whether we need to all stand up and say, yes, I can. And then I realized it's not. Because that sounds a little bit like kind of psychobabble and self-help. And it sounds a little bit as if we're depending on ourselves. And it misses out on the fact that it's not just about us being able and capable, but it's on our God-given gifts. And I realized I just want to change it. And I don't want you to say to yourself this morning, yes, I can. But what I really want is for you to hear God saying to you, yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can. God says, I have a mission. I am reaching out to the whole of creation. I sent my son Jesus to live and die and rise again for the sake of the whole of creation. And I am still doing that, and I still want to be known by all my people. And I want you to join in. I want you to be involved in that. I want you to play your part. And yes, you can. You can be part of God's purposes, because God has made you, and you can be the person God has made you. And God will work through you every time you say, yes, Lord, let's give it a go.